15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Verse 10 be our text for this evening. The Lord Jesus speaking, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is a familiar saying, which I'm sure we have all heard at one time or another, that many a true word was said in jest. We might also say many a true word has been spoken in anger. For we have an example of this before us. Pharisees and the scribes were not pleased at all that the Lord Jesus should show such readiness to receive publicans and sinners. The truth that came from their lips in anger and criticism of the Lord Jesus could not have been put any better by one of the Lord's most loyal subjects. Because when they said, this man receiveth sinners, why? They were speaking the truth. They were telling the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, this man does indeed receive sinners. And what they meant as a word of criticism was actually perfectly true. We see just how very true the words were when we consider and read the words of verse 1 of this passage we have just read. There we read, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Notice the truth that is here in these words. Notice the approach of sinners and how they approached the Lord Jesus. This is what had angered the Pharisees and the scribes so much. That these publicans and sinners were able to approach the Lord. Oh, they thought this was a terrible thing. They thought this was disgraceful. That publicans and sinners should be able to approach the Lord. But look at what it says. Then drew near unto him. Oh dear hearer tonight, here we have the drawing power of the Lord Jesus. It says, then drew near unto him. They were drawn to Christ. Though we do rejoice that sinners are still drawn to Christ because the Lord Jesus still has that drawing power. Still drawing sinners to himself. Individuals were drawn to Christ wherever he went. Multitudes were drawn to Christ. For he possesses that power. Draw sinners to himself. Says, then drew near unto him. They weren't drawn to Peter. They weren't drawn to John. They weren't drawn to Andrew. They were drawn to him. He is the one who has the drawing power. So they were drawn to Christ. And this angered Pharisees that began to murmur against him. But notice further how true these words were, for it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. We not only have the approach of sinners, but we also have the assembly of sinners. What does it say? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Pharisees were not backward in giving the name sinner to certain individuals. You remember when the Lord Jesus visited the house of a Pharisee named Simon, that a woman, hearing of the Lord's visit to that home, went in with an alabaster box of ointment and began to anoint the Lord. And she not only anointed him with the ointment, she anointed him with her tears. Standing behind him, washing his feet with her tears. And again, the Pharisee wasn't backward in describing that woman. Why, she's a sinner. This man must not be a prophet at all. Or if he was a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. But Simon didn't know anything about Christ. He didn't know the first thing about Christ. He didn't know that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He didn't know that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He didn't know that Jesus Christ came to shed his blood for sinners. He didn't know the first thing about Christ. Neither did the Pharisees and scribes hear. The Lord Jesus ready to receive publicans and sinners. It says all the publicans. For Christ receiveth all comers. All publicans. All sinners. All who will come to him, he will receive. My, if the Lord Jesus was selective with regard to those that came to him. I know one person he would not have received, this preacher here. He wouldn't have had anything to do with me. Thank God Christ receiveth sinners. He receiveth all sinners, all who will come to him. Thank God he's the one who indeed receiveth all comers. What a wonderful Savior we have. But notice further what it was that drew these sinners to Christ. We have the attraction. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They drew near to him for to hear him. They were drawn to Christ through his words. Once again, would this not encourage us to get the word out? Would this not encourage us to preach the word and publish the word and spread the word, because it's through the word that men are drawn to Christ? I have no time for these individuals that abandon the preaching of the word. As we've said before, take the book and they throw it on the scrap heap. That's what they're doing. It's no use to them anymore. And yet we see in God's word that it is the preaching of the word that draws men to Christ. It was very evident that these Pharisees did not have any sympathy for publicans and sinners. Whenever they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with him, they thought this was terrible. They didn't have a love for sinners. They didn't understand that the Lord Jesus would readily receive sinners. And so to teach these religious leaders about the true value of a soul, the Lord Jesus tells them three stories. tells them the story about the lost sheep. He tells them the story about the lost silver. He tells them the story about the lost son. And the Lord Jesus was seeking to explain to them just how precious one sinner is. And he was really saying, you despise these sinners. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you how valuable, how precious one sinner is. It's like a shepherd. He has 100 sheep. He's lost one. He goes out and finds it. When he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders, brings it home, calls all his neighbors and friends and says, come and rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Or he says, it's like a woman, and she's lost a piece of silver. And she gets a candle and she searches the house until she finds it. And she again calls for her friends and neighbors. Rejoice with me. I have found the peace that was lost. Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. He was teaching them about the value of a soul. Dear child of God, we need to be taught again and again and again about the value of a soul. Oh, if the Lord has taught us before, but it's needful that the Lord teach us again. Let us then consider the joy that heaven experiences when one sinner is found and one sinner repents. The Lord said, likewise there is joy. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here's the rejoicing. There's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. This woman had lost a piece of silver. She searches for it. When she finds it, we are told, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together. There's her proclamation. She calleth her friends and her neighbors. She proclaims the good news. She makes an announcement. She says to her friends and neighbors, you remember that piece of silver I lost? Well, I have found it. I have found it. Come. Come, my friends. Come, my neighbors. Come and rejoice with me. For I have found that piece of silver that I lost. She made the announcement. Now what does this teach us? It teaches us that when one sinner repents here on earth, an announcement is made in heaven. It must mean that. How else do the angels know? There is rejoicing, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's an announcement made in heaven. Why, what a blessed thought. If a soul was to be saved here in this church tonight, there would be announcement made about it in heaven. Listen, glorified saints. Listen, you host of angels. A soul has been saved in Port Hope Free Church tonight. That announcement would be made. My, what joy there would be in heaven. Think of those saints in heaven. They had to leave this scene of time before they saw their family gathered into Christ. Think of those saints who lay upon their deathbed and their family around them. There were members of that family circle not saved, and they had to leave without seeing them one for Christ. Bless the Lord when they get saved. Announcement made about it in heaven. Just think of it. The Father has gone home to glory, and He left behind an unsaved son. And when the announcement is made, that Father cries out, "That's my son. Glory to God, my son has got saved." There's joy then in the presence of the angels of God. For the mother who wept, broke her heart over a wayward daughter, and was called home to glory before she saw that daughter saved. You think of the joy in the presence of the angels of God when the announcement is made. Daughters got saved. It's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Notice also the place. It says here in our text, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God." The reference here, no doubt, is to heaven. The presence of the angels of God. In other words, heaven. Heaven is a place that rejoices over souls being saved. We live in a world today that couldn't care less about a soul being saved. We live in a world today who wouldn't give one moment's thought to a brand being plucked from the burning. We live in a world today that would rather mock that soul receiving Christ. We live in a world today who would laugh at someone getting saved and say, "Oh, have you heard about so-and-so? He's got good living." And they'll come to that individual and they'll mock them and they'll joke with them. Not so in heaven. Heaven is a place that rejoices over sinners getting saved. How good to know. How good to know that in our eternal home, there is that place that rejoices over sinners that repent. It is good to know that one day we will be in that place where everyone is glad when a soul gets saved. Dear child of God, if we're going to be in heaven, and glory to God, we are and will be. And we also will rejoice when we hear of sinners getting saved. Well, we ought to rejoice now. When we hear of a soul getting saved, that ought to fill us with joy. We hear of another brand plucked from the burning. When we hear of another lost sheep brought home. When we hear of another precious soul delivered out of the clutches of the devil, we ought to rejoice, because we'll rejoice in heaven. When we hear of one sinner repenting. Notice something else. Notice the person. Let's look at verse 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise the shepherd. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, and he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. In other words, the first person to rejoice is Christ Himself. That's who's pictured here. Christ is the shepherd. Christ is the shepherd of the sheep, and He's the one who has gone out, and He has found the sheep, and when He has found it, He's rejoicing, and He says, Come, rejoice with me. Likewise, the woman, when she found her piece of silver. And dear child of God, there's no one but no one in heaven or on earth who rejoices more over one soul getting saved than the Lord Jesus Himself. And my, when He find you and He find me, what joy there must have been in our dear Savior's heart. I'm speaking this morning something of the agony of Christ. But as He made His way to Calvary, there was a joy there. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him. Endured the cross, despised the shame. What was the joy? Yes, the joy of doing His Father's will. But the joy that was set before Him was the thought of rescuing His people, finding His sheep, bringing them into the fold. He knew that He was going to Calvary to lay down His life, to shed His blood for His sheep. The joy that was set before Him. That's what filled the heart of Christ with joy, was the redemption and the rescue of His own people. And that's why we have here in these words the shepherd saying, Rejoice with me. And the Lord Jesus, when one soul repents, says to all in heaven, Rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep was lost. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. We read there about the joy that the Lord has for His people. And there in Zephaniah, in chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord hath taken away thy judgment, He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. And thou shalt have see evil any more. It's obviously not the right verse. But the reference is to the Lord rejoicing over His people. The Lord Jesus is filled with joy when one soul repents. The Lord Jesus says, Rejoice with me. It's verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. There it is. He'll rejoice over thee. Then we notice also the people. The friends and the neighbors of the shepherd, or the friends and the neighbors of the woman, has lost the piece of silver. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I had lost." The Lord Jesus said, when a sinner repents, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. He didn't say the angels rejoiced. I'm sure they did. But I don't believe that those who rejoiced, as far as this verse is concerned, the reference isn't directly to the angels. The rejoicing was done in the presence of the angels. And who is it that lives and abides forever in the presence of the angels? Why, the glorified saints, the friends and neighbors of the one who found the sheep. The friends and neighbors of the one who found the precious piece of silver. We mentioned earlier on that John the Baptist rejoiced in the fact that he was the friend of the bridegroom. Is the friend of the bridegroom, is the friend of Christ. The Lord Jesus himself has said in John 15, verse 13, "No greater love hath any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Didn't he lay down his life for us? We are his friends. And the Lord said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And so surely the reference here is to the friends of the bridegroom, the friends of the shepherd. That would be the saints of God. And as the friends of Christ, we know what it is like to be a brand plucked from the burning. It's the glorified saints that know how to sing song of the redeemed. That's a song the angels don't know. It's a song the angels cannot sing. For they were never redeemed. Then the angels stand and listen. For they cannot join that song. Like the sound of many waters by that happy blood-washed throng. For they sing about great trials, battles fought and victories won. They praise their great Redeemer who has said to them, "Well done." Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will have to fold their wings. For angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. It's the saints in heaven. That abide in the presence of the angels that will sing, sing every time a sinner is saved. It's the rejoicing, and then you have the reason. The Lord makes it very clear the reason for such joy in the presence of the angels. You think of it, heaven must be a wonderful place. It's a place of joy. No sorrow, no partings, no death, no pain, no suffering. And yet heaven still rejoices. And heaven hears of one soul getting saved. That's the reason for the joy of those in the presence of the angels. They rejoice because of one saved soul. The Lord Jesus said there is joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. Mark the word. Over one sinner that repenteth. Repenteth. It's not over one sinner that maketh a decision. It's not over one sinner that maketh a commitment. It is over one sinner that repenteth. Commitments and decisions are not announced in heaven. It's not commitments and decisions that make those in the presence of the angels rejoice. It's a sinner repenting that makes heaven rejoice. That's a very different thing. Oh, repentance is a word that is not mentioned much these days. Repentance is a word that preachers don't like to mention these days. Repentance is a word that their people don't like to hear these days. For what is it to repent? It means to turn away from sin and self and turn completely to Christ. Repentance means to be converted. Yet the gospel that is preached today is a gospel without repentance. Because repentance is not emphasized and repentance is not preached, you have a religion today that is not Christianity. It's not the religion of this book. It's a kind of Hollywood religion. And you hear about these stars and these stage performers, and they said that they're born again. And yet you look out for the change. You want to see the change. But there's no change. They're still on the stage. Still making themselves idols to be worshipped by young people. They're still going to Hollywood. Where's the repentance? Where's the turning away? Where's the change? Where's the conversion? The sad thing is, there are thousands of souls who are going down to hell. They think because they made a decision or a commitment, they're going to heaven. And that's all they have. No repentance. They don't want repentance because it would mean giving up their lifestyle. It would mean giving up their ways. It would mean giving up the world. They want a profession, and they want a commitment, and they want a decision, and they want the world. I'm prepared to give it all up and cry, it's Christ for me, Christ for me. No, commitments and decisions aren't mentioned in heaven. It's when a sinner repents. That's what brings joy to the glorified saints that stand in the presence of the angels of God. When a sinner repents. Notice also, not only do we have here a saved soul, we have a single soul. Isn't that what the Lord said? Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. What would it be like? What will it be like for us when we get to heaven and it's announced 100 sinners have got saved? What joy there'll be there at that time. And what joy there must be in heaven when it is announced 1,000 sinners have repented. What must it be in heaven when there's a move of the Spirit of God here on earth and God sends revival? And thousands are swept into the kingdom. And it's announced all over glory. What joy in the presence of the angels of God. What joy there will be then when we see here the joy that there is over one soul. Repenting a single. Now, we're not told anything about that one sinner. A poor sinner. A drunkard. A harlot. Doesn't matter. Still rejoicing in heaven. A sinner that no one knows. He repents of his sin. It's announced in glory. And all heaven rejoices. Now these scribes and Pharisees had a lot to learn, hadn't they? No matter who it might be, who repents at one soul here, one soul somewhere else, whoever it may be, there's rejoicing. Notice also, not only do we have a sea of soul, we have here a single soul, but a specific soul mentioned. What did the shepherd say? And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. Before it was lost, it belonged to the shepherd. And dear child of God, even though we were lost, from the moment we came into this world, we were still the Lord's sheep. Because as we noted last week, He chose us in Him before the foundation. Lord Jesus came into the world to seek His lost sheep. He came into the world to seek us. And you remember those days that you ran from Him? I do. In the days like Adam and Eve, we hid ourselves or sought to hide ourselves from God. We're afraid to go to meetings in case the Spirit of God would deal with us. But the shepherd kept seeking and he kept seeking. And my, when he found us, he made the announcement in glory, I have found my sheep. My sheep has been found. Because there's joy in the presence of the angels of God
over one sinner and repenteth. Finally, it's the Lord Jesus who's telling these stories. It's the Lord Jesus who was criticized by the Pharisees and the scribes. It's the Lord Jesus who we see in the shepherd. It's the Lord Jesus whom we see in the woman who sought the piece of silver. We see here the Redeemer. See, the focus is on Him. The focus was on Him, and the scribes and Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And in the stories that the Lord Jesus then proceeded to tell, the focus was always on Christ. And in heaven, when there's joy in the presence of the angels of God, the focus is on Christ. How do I know? Revelation 1, verse 5. John, of course, was given a revelation of things that were and are and would be. And we read then in verse 5, Revelation 1, verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who was a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And we can add our amens. It's on to Him. And for all eternity, dear child of God, we'll sing with all the glorified saints, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive praise and honor and glory." And every time we hear of a sinner repent, it'll fill our hearts with joy in heaven. And we'll turn our attention to Christ. And we'll say on to Him who loved us, washed us in His own blood. He must have the glory. He must be He is the one who did the seeking. He's the one who did the finding. And He is the one to whom we sing and will sing our songs. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And He will say in heaven, "Found another one of my sheep. I found them in Port Hope." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if in the days to come we saw the Lord's sheep, many of them, found here in this very place. There would be rejoicing and glory. Does not then encourage us to get out the word. Get the word to the Lord's lost sheep. Knowing that when we see that lost sheep found, and saved, and washed, and redeemed, there'll be joy in the presence of the angels of God. Amen. heads in prayer. Most gracious Father and eternal God, we bless Thee again for giving Thy Son to be our shepherd, the seeker of our souls. And, O Lord, we can hardly believe it, and yet it is true that when the shepherd sought and found us, there was joy in the presence of the angels when the announcement was made. O loving Father, we pray that Thou would simply receive of our thanks tonight again for saving our souls, for making us whole, for giving to us Thy great salvation, so rich and so free. O Lord, help us to cherish the old rugged cross. Help us, Lord, to ever look to the cross. May our glory always be in the cross work of Christ. For, Lord, we have nothing else to glory. Glory is all in Thee. Lord, write Thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts tonight. No gracious Lord teaches more about the value of a soul. How valuable a soul must be when that soul is redeemed, heaven rejoices. Help us, Lord, to reach valuable, precious souls for Christ. And Lord, we pray again, as we've often prayed, make this witness here, this church here, make it, Lord, a rescue mission just a yard from the gates of hell. May the carpet, Lord, of this place be stained the tears of repenting sinners. May the walls, Lord, of this building echo and re-echo to the sound of sinners weeping and praying their way to Calvary. O God, do great things in this house in the days to come, to the glory and the praise and the honor of Thy name. We ask these things. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we separate the one from the other. Keep Thy hand upon us till we meet again. And bless us, Lord, as we seek to walk with Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be pleased to abide and remain with us now and forever.